The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. What really matters? When I was diagnosed with cancer, I had peace and a sense of calmness, even though all around me, what I knew to be my stability was crumbling away. In that process, I discovered I was not what I do, or my degrees, or my beliefs. It often takes a crisis for us to come to that realization. For my guest, Mayun Tanner, when her life fell apart, she found out that going inside is where her answers were. My second guest, Peter Fairfield, tells us how to locate that deep, happy place that's always been inside of us and can be accessed no matter what the circumstances are. If you have to leave this episode before you hear it all, you can come back and download it and share it with your friends. But stick around. Discover what really matters. Mayun is up now. Let's hear the interview that I did with her. We are talking today to Mayun Tanner. Is that the correct way to pronounce the last name?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So this book that you have written, A Voice to Myself Opened a Door to Life, you've written it with a pseudonym. How come?
Well, mainly to protect the people that I'm writing about, because my life involves other people,
of course.
But my life is my own life, and I don't want anybody else to be victimized or, you know, said, well, that person's an evil person or that person's a terrible person, or, you know, everybody's life is their own private life, so that is mainly the reason why I use the pseudonym.
Well, that was very nice of you to protect others, because often people don't do that. They want to let it all hang out in a book, and I'm glad that you were respectful of others.
Well, that's part of my philosophy in life is, yes, I'm totally responsible for my own life and other people do interact with me, but part of my responsibility is to be respectful and understanding that other people have their own lives and their own explanations. So,
yes.
Yes.
Well, I know for me, when I write things, it often comes out of some sort of a trauma or a crisis in my life. Was that so in your case?
Well, when I started, the book didn't start as a book. The book just started out of, as I describe in my book, out of just questions I was asking myself, and I had pieces of paper and notes and all over the place, just trying to find a pattern, an understanding of why life was as it was. And during that process, I found that writing, because I'm a real insomniac due to my part of my illness, that I found it actually clarified a lot more things to me. And then as I was discussing with friends and family, they said, you should write a book. And I said, well, I'm just an everyday sort of person. And they said, yes, but the things that you're saying make sense and it might help somebody else. So that's basically why I wrote the book, why I got it published, paid to have it published, because I thought, well, yes, it could help somebody else. And that's part of my philosophy in life is that we're all individuals, mm-hmm. but we're all individuals together that should be helping each other. And if something I say might help somebody else, then so be it. But it's not the only way. I don't presume to say this is the only way to find a happy life, but this method of living and perceiving life has created a wonderful life for me. So I thought, why not share it?
Good. Now, the people that encouraged you to write this, have they read the book and commented on it?
Absolutely. They've been my harshest critics, some of them. One of my dearest friends who asked me to write the book has now passed away. So I haven't got that blessing of him being able to, because he was such a lovely Irishman and had such a wonderful turn of phrase, and I would have really liked to have the discussion with him. But another dear friend, he said I should, you know, get a thesaurus, because I use the same words over and over. But I said, well, it was a very conscious choice to keep repeating things, because I know that just one reading of one word or one sentence can get lost in amongst all the words. So I use love a lot, and what I'm trying to get across to people is that love is not just an emotion. Love is a full spectrum of kindness and compassion and integrity and honesty, but it all boils down to love. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example of that. So yes, and other people have said to me, my sister has said to me, well, it's a very deep book, Marianne, very deep book.
Yes.
But she said, I really resonated with what you said about prayer. And I thought, well, that's great, you know, because not everybody's going to agree with everything. But if somebody gets something out of it, she said, yes, well, you know, that really made it clear to me about what prayer is about. And so, which is completely different, which is the next step on from meditation, basically, which is what I say in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, lots of people have picked up lots of things out of it. And it's been, I haven't had any real negative feedback, or saying you're loopy or you're over the top or whatever. But who knows? People might think that, but
well,
it works for me.
Yeah, they have the right to express their opinion of it, but hopefully,
absolutely,
hopefully they'll read it and make some comments that are positive. And that's something I want to talk about. It says in your glossary, energy flows from negative to positive. So your conclusion is that the overriding pulse of the universe is towards love and away from fear. Can you explain what
yes.
you mean by this?
Well, I'm an optimistic person, so I focus on what some people will call the positive rather than the negative.
Yeah.
And God and Satan or all the, you know, I think there's duality in everything. So, but I do believe that the consciousness of the world is pulling us towards being more caring towards each other. So when I say that's the overriding pulse of the universe, it's that focusing on that people are starting to realize that it's much better to love people than to fear them or to be aggressive towards them or, you know, put them down. And a lot more people are starting to learn about forgiveness and gratitude and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is a new paradigm in the last 50 years. It's becoming very obvious that people are starting to really care for each other. So, you know, that statement may seem like a big statement, but that's because I'm an optimist, and I believe that the more optimism you put out in the world, the more that people will focus towards that love energy. Because you can go to the dark side, as they say in Star Wars, you know. So if you're going to focus on fear and retribution and degradation and all of that, you can go that way if you want. But, you know, I believe our overriding reason for being on this earth is to learn how to be happy and to really learn how to love.
Yes.
So that's why I say the overriding pulse of the universe, because that's what I want the world, the universe, to really focus on.
Good. I agree with you. And let's hope that happens. I know this coming week is International Peace Day on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So around the
All
world,
right.
I'm going to be participating in a meditation that will be in all time zones going on this Friday. And we'll just see when you send that out and meditate on peace, it has an effect, a positive effect. So let's see what happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And before I go to sleep every night, I focus on sending my image is love and light, because that's a very quick image to hold in your head. Mm-hmm. It's just an image, but we need images, so that's my image, and I send that out into the world, and I don't know how many times that it has been effective for me and for people around me who are having problems or need an answer somewhere along the line. So to me, it's never been proven to be invalid.
Correct. Yes. Yes. You say that your biggest lesson you learned was your inner dialogue, your communication with yourself, your inner voice, together with consequent intentions and generated feelings and subsequent vibrations emitted are the central manifestor of your existence. Can you put that into laypeople's language, please?
Well, in the book, I do expand on that a bit more, but basically it all boils down to the law of attraction.
Yes.
And what you put out there is what you get back. So if you're focusing on love and joy and contentment and peace, then you'll get more of that. But if you're focusing on the fact that you've got no money and you say you're in debt, well, the universe will just keep saying, oh, you want debt.
Right.
So we'll give you more debt.
Right.
So if you focus on abundance, you'll get more abundance. And if you focus on the fact that you've got, you know, you haven't got the love of your life, or you haven't got any love in your life, well, the universe will say, well, is that what you want? That's what you want. That's what you're focusing on. Because I believe that the universe answers every prayer and every question that goes out there.
Yes.
And it's what's called divine indifference. It says, well, that's, if that's what you want, that's what I'll give you. So if we learn to put out more positive intention, like Mother Teresa was asked to go to a anti-war rally, and she said no. She said, when you have a peace rally, I'll be there.
Uh-huh. I like that.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so I concentrate on, if I think I need a little bit of extra money, I'll focus on the fact that I am very abundant and that it will come to me. And if I want a house, like the house I manifested for myself just this year, I visualized exactly what I wanted in the type of house I wanted. I didn't see the specifics, but I knew I wanted certain things, and I got everything I wanted, and I've got a house that feels wonderful, and everybody that walks into the house says, God, this place has got a great feel. And I said, yeah, well, I felt that too, and that's what I wanted, and that's what I found, and that's what I got.
Well, that's wonderful.
And it happened very quickly.
Well, good. Well, how about at this point in time we take a break, and when we come back we're going to get into some specifics. Would that be all right?
Okay, that'd be fantastic. I look forward to it.
All right.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792.
That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We've been listening to the interview I did with Mayoon Tanner, telling us about accessing that voice to ourselves and how it all starts with the questions that we ask. And in reference to the thing I said about the International Day of Prayer that was on September 21st. So let's go back and hear more of what Mayoon had to tell us. I'm back here with Mayoon, and we're talking about her book, A Voice to Myself Opened a Door to Life. So we're going to start talking now about the map that you have in your book on page 135 that talks about the steps you went through on your journey. So step one talks about you started by asking yourself questions. What do you mean by this, and how does somebody do that?
Well, what I noticed before I became aware that the questions that I was asking was always about somebody else. Why is that? Why does that person do this? Or how come that's not, you know, why is that person not treating me well? Or why is that not working for me from that point of view? And I realized I had to actually take personal responsibility. When you ask a question, you say, well, what is it about me that is creating this situation? Because I believe we all create our own environment and the choices that we make to, and how we put ourselves out into the world is what creates our life.
Correct.
So my first question was, I'm not such a bad person. Why is this happening to me? Hmm. And then I realized, well, I created what was happening to me. I started realizing that I created what was happening to me, the choices that I made to get over-involved in things, to always think, well, nobody's efficient. Why are they not efficient? I have to do this, you know, be such the controller of an environment rather than just controlling my own input into how something evolved. And so the question became to me, well, what is it about me that has created this situation? Mm-hmm. And so every time I ask myself a question, it's not about why is that person angry, with me? It's what have I done that has brought that anger towards me? And do I have some input into it? And sometimes you don't, mm-hmm. but mostly when you're unaware, you have in some unknown way. But once you become aware, if somebody's angry at you and you can authentically say to yourself, well, I have no input into that, that's not my fault, mm-hmm. then you can say, then you are more secure in the world. And that takes a while to get to that stage. And it does take, you know, this is not a thing that happens overnight. It's a gradual, becoming aware is a gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming aware of how your life unfolds is a gradual process. And as you do one little step, the next step opens up and you become, oh, right, if I was a little bit kinder to that person in my response and don't respond back angrily when they're angry with me, then you notice the fear dissipates.
Right.
And you can actually have a much more constructive discussion rather than just this blame quest going backwards and forwards, for example, in the anger thing. But in other things too, everything is about the intention that you put behind any interaction. And so every day when I wake up, it becomes an automatic response, an automatic thing for me now to say, okay, I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to be kind, compassionate, understanding, and patient. And once you start doing that, you notice that the whole world responds to you in a completely different manner.
Mm-hmm. And then your next step, the synchronicity, comes into play. Once you put stuff out there, you start getting what you need.
That's right. And the thing is, you know, there's loads of coincidences, and people just think, oh, that was a coincidence, that's a one-off. And what I started realising after having lots of conversations with wiser people than me at the time, saying, well, you know, that's actually a synchronistic event. You know, you've asked the universe for something, or the universe is giving you a sign somewhere along the way. And after a while I realised, oh, well, maybe I can actually help that co-create my life. So if I need something, mm-hmm. I can say, I want this bit of information. I don't try and figure out how it's going to happen to me now. It just happens. If I want a piece of information, somehow it'll come to me, whether it's a book I pick up, a conversation I have with somebody, or a film I watch, or a song on the radio. Something will happen that will give me the answer that I have been querying. So you can actually use the synchronicity. Synchronicity is always there, but we don't notice it. Mm-hmm. And we've just put it down to coincidence. And, you know, over the last 40 or 50 years, people have used the word serendipity because, it's a nicer feeling. But the thing is, it's serendipity or synchronicity. They're just semantics. Mm-hmm. But we do have, I believe, we have some input into using the synchronicity as a tool that the universe gives us, or yes. God gives us, if you believe in God.
Yes.
So it's a real tool that is very valuable if you trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do.
Mm-hmm. And I think the more that you use it, the more you trust it, and the more you trust it, the more you use it.
Oh, look, I have synchronistic events every day of my life, and I laugh and I appreciate it. And the other thing is gratitude is the other greatest tool.
Oh,
being
yes.
grateful for everything, mm-hmm. being grateful is another great generator of a happy life, and not just happy events. You end up having just being happy, even when challenges happen.
Like when your car window. Yeah.
Exactly, the car window smashing all over me. It was, it was such a sign to me to saying, well, you know, that serves you right for not paying attention and taking all the signs along the way.
Uh-huh.
But then I used that, and I then asked for help, and I got, I found something straight away. And so the more you use it, the more beneficial, and the more, and the frequency of it is just amazing. It's a never ending enjoyment and surprise when I have a synchronistic event, and it happens every day.
Mm-hmm. And for me, when you partake in those events, then you are on a higher vibrational level with other people of like minds, so that the negative
Absolutely.
People and the negative events just kind of fall away from you. They don't touch you.
That's right, yes. And when you do come across very fearful people, you can sense it straight away, and you can either say, I've got the energy to deal with that today and try and help them. But sometimes you do. You just have to, because their fear is so, so toxic, and mm-hmm. they cannot be got to at that stage. So then I just sort of separate myself away from them, and then I just consciously say, I send them love and light. And I would say 99% of the time, in fact, for me, it's been 100%. They either usually settle down, or they just walk away, or I don't have, I have very rare events now when unexpected anger is thrown at me. In fact, I can't even think of the last time it happened.
Mhm. Yeah, and if I'm in a place where I can't handle that fear or that anger from other people, I will just say to them, I'm not in a place right now that I can deal with that, so I'm going to call you back later, or I need to go take a nap.
Yes.
And so I claim for myself what I need.
That's right. And then I just send them love and light, and usually they do calm down, and then the next time they see you, they will apologize, or they will, honestly inquire about mm-hmm. something. Well, this has happened, and you made me angry when you did this. And I said, well, no, you made yourself angry because something I did made you feel angry, but I didn't make you feel angry. Nobody
right.
can make you feel angry.
That's right.
They get angry because of something that they see and witness, and it's their choice. And you know, I believe anger is a tool we are given. Why am I angry? That's why I think you have to ask yourself, why am I angry? And be authentic about why it is you are angry, not what another person has made you angry.
Yeah. So when you're exploring your emotions, like with Dr. Emoto's work, you have an effect on your emotions by looking at your emotions.
Yes, yes, exactly. But, you know, you can explore your emotions and go to that darker side and say, well, I'm going to stay sad, which a lot of people do awarely as well as unawarely.
Yes.
You know, they live in sadness all the time and they live in unforgiveness and they live in, you know, being ungrateful. But a lot of those people are unaware. But there are a few people that make the aware choice to be the victim and to be ungrateful and to do all of that. And, you know, the universe is divine indifference. What you focus on is what you get. But if somebody is continually in that mode, I will say, well, I'm sorry. That's the way you want to live. That's not the way I want to live. So I hold no resentment towards them. I feel a bit of sadness for them because the happy vibration is a much, much nicer feeling within one's body and spirit than the sad vibration.
Yes.
But if people want to focus on that, then that's their journey.
Right. I agree. Well, speaking of journey, it's about time for us to end our journey of this interview with you. So if people want to find out more, how do they get in contact with you? What do they do?
Well, I have a blog site that I usually write on only about once a month, and I just sort of have a synopsis of what's happened and how I've related to life and friends and family, and I don't use names, but I do a general blog, and it's again about exploring about how you deal with fear and how I deal with anger and how people deal with it, and I discuss that on my blog, which is www.mayantana.com.
Okay.
And you can order a book via that site as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Or I'm on the web.
Okay. Well, I will instruct people to look for you at the end of the show. I will mention it again so that they can go find you. So thank you so much for doing this interview with me, and I wish you well on your journey of light and love.
Thank you very much for your interest, and I'm hoping that whoever reads the book, that they have some kind of positive experience that they get out of it, because that was the whole purpose of me publishing the book.
Uh-huh.
So God bless and love and light to all.
Thank you.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Mayun Tanner reminded us that asking ourselves questions can yield the answers. Now, Peter Fairfield, teacher, healer, and acupuncturist, who uses his intuitive skills to work with others, will tell us how to connect to deep happy. Welcome, Peter.
Well, hi, Melanie. It's so great to be on your show. Melanie, I had a great talk last week because I thought it was last week.
Yes, we did. We had a good pre-interview. So,
and actually, it looks like a workshop is coming up in Tallahassee that we're doing because of that. So it was great.
Yes, that will be for the listeners. It will be the weekend of Thanksgiving, which will be the 24th Saturday and 25th on Sunday. So people can stay tuned to get information about that.
Yeah. But
let's talk about Deep Happy. What is the essential message of your book, Deep Happy?
Well, the essential message of Deep Happy is that deep below all the BS, all the chaos, all the fear, all the anger, all the desire, all the insecurity, and all the challenge in our modern world is a place that's just fine. It's a place that each one of us has, no matter how crazy we seem, no matter how hard things get. If we just pay attention to what's in our deep core, that's okay. It's a place that's calm and peaceful, and it's also where we get messages and direction and information.
And this place has always been there from the minute we took our first breath.
Even before that. It's a place that's before we had lungs. It's a place that always is. It's a place where the point of our infinite consciousness meets the whole. And it's a place that every point of consciousness has. It's what connects us to the whole. You know, I'm in medicine, so I tend to think about bodies. And so there's somewhere between 50 and 100 trillion cells in the body, depending on who's counting. They're very tiny. I think it's hard to keep track.
Yes.
Each of those cells is connected to the whole. 50 trillion is a huge number. I mean, it's like grains of sand in a huge beach. I mean, it's just immense. And every one of those cells has 100,000 bonding sites on it and little organs inside. And it's just immense. It's so complicated. But every part of every part is connected to the whole by resonance. By electromagnetic resonance. Your last guest, who I really loved, by the way, was talking about when you change how you feel, the world changes around you. And that's true. And as we connect to our inner core, and that changes how we feel outside, and then that, again, connects us to the world.
So when we make this connection to this deep, happy place inside of us, we change. Or we become who we were supposed to be.
Yes, well, we change. We don't change. It's just we access who we already are, I think is a better way to say it. Now we have an outer part of us. It's our body. And, all the things that we call our personality issues, our emotions, they're really not in our head. Rarely is it a head problem. You know, the whole idea of chemical imbalance is a myth. You know, if there was such a thing as a chemical imbalance in the brain, they would have lab tests for depression, anxiety, and all that. They don't. But what happens is all the things, the brain goes along with it, but all the things we call emotions, that we call challenges where we feel stressed or anxious or unsure or stuck and all that, it's in the body. And so if we learn to come from our inner core, that creates a foundation for the body to relax and feel better. Now, we can do it from the outside in, and my book, Deep Happy, talks about that. Mm-hmm. But as we begin to radiate from the inside, all these things that have kept us stuck or kept us habituated to certain patterns, which may not serve us anymore, begin to dissolve and fall away. And that's the real message of Deep Happy, that you can change. It's easy. All the parts are right there. Even if you feel screwed up and have felt screwed up your whole life, you still have an awareness. And that's all you need to really get things through.
Mm-hmm. But some people, I think, are better at doing this journey, this connection than other people. Some people need assistance. They just don't have the confidence to, even if you gave them step-by-step instructions, they need somebody else to walk them through it.
Well, actually, as much as we like to, flag our independence and our individuality, humans are herd animals.
Yes.
We do things better together. Even some of these people that are alone like to be alone a lot. They still like to have certain people around them or in the neighborhood or something. Mm-hmm. And so Deep Happy is very simply a fun and hopefully inspiring and interesting path to very simple practices and ideas to take us into the basis of finding deep happy. You know, I think we've all had the experience. I'm 63, but a part of me feels just the same as when I was 12 or 20 or 30 mm-hmm. or 40. Mm-hmm. And we've all had that. You had that experience?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think almost everybody has it, because there's a part of us that doesn't change. The part of us that doesn't change is the part of us also that doesn't die.
Oh.
And that's a profound thing when you think about it. If it doesn't age, then what, it couldn't die. And that's the part of us that continues, and we all know that part. We all look in the mirror and go, well, my body looks older, but the rest of me doesn't feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part that's the door to deep happy. Now, the outer door is just beginning to feel our body. You know, the patterns that we learn from our parents, even as just at the point of conception, that there are our energetic and nervous systems begin to shift in tone with the planet that we're coming into and the family that we're coming into. We learn to tighten certain places and shift our polarity, yin or yang, or tight or loose, and so forth. And we learn to adapt, and that's what the growing embryo does, and that's what humans do. Mm-hmm. And we adapt to the positive and negative. You know, we imprint our karmic patterns into the physical bodies through the parents and the environment that we first drop into, and that creates our initial class of figure out who we are, get healed, and then help others.
Mm-hmm.
And so our body carries around all these misunderstandings, all these habits of holding things out or holding things in or turning one feeling into another. You know, some families that don't have any tenderness, they're kind of gruff and angry or distant. And some families are just so touchy-feely, but they don't really feel the direct action, or they're not always in their truth. And so we can shift back and forth, and everybody has some. And then we have hurts and traumas that affect us. Sometimes brain traumas can affect. We fall off a bike and hit our head.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we break up in a relationship and we never quite get over it because we mix the feeling of it, and then we get disconnected from all these things. These live in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And living in the body, we can change them. The body can and does and will and always will change.
Okay. So this deep, happy part of us, is that related to our chi?
I'm sorry, to our what?
To our chi, our life energy force?
Well, of course. You know,
okay.
There's two parts. There's a quantitative part, and there's a qualitative part.
Okay.
I've taught meditation and qigong for many years, and there's a way that we can walk out to the woods or the backyard, and we can just physically absorb quantities of energy into our body.
Mm-hmm.
We can stand in front of a plant, we can absorb energy, from the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and all that. It's relatively easy. But then when we send that energy out, it's quantitative. It's like pouring water out of a pitcher. It can empty.
Mm-hmm.
But when we touch the deep, happy part, it's not quantitative, because it's out of time and space. It's from non-duality. It's from the infinite. And so what happens is, by resonating with that energy, it allows all of the energy that's non-quantitative, that's qualitative. In other words, the space between the molecules, the space between the words, the space between the parts, that's still the infinite energy. You know, I years ago I read an article, and it said that the research showed that in a square centimeter of empty space, a vacuum, that there was more energy locked up than in all the physical matter of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a softball-sized chunk of uranium blew up and did terrible things in Japan.
Right.
At the end of the war, World War II. And that was just a softball-sized. Think of that power. Think of all the energy locked up in all of the matter in the universe. And yet, science, physics, says that there's more energy locked up in one square centimeter than all the matter in the universe. And that's our potential, because that's the energy out of source. And so as we begin to touch our own source, and we begin to touch our own core, what happens is that the qualitative, catalytic wave comes, and we begin to revitalize our thinking, our actions, and it gives us this energy to move and open and to accept the parts of us that have been stuck. Now, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily have to have all that to make the changes. That comes gradually, and most of us would be overwhelmed if we let all that happen. It's kind of like we have a spiritual agoraphobia. We kind of have to get used to that big space.
Right.
But by simply beginning to breathe in our abdomen and feel the sensations there and begin to switch our nervous system from stressed mode to a relaxed mode, and then we begin to go to various parts of the body where we have shifted our energy. We've either denied our consciousness there, or we've accentuated artificially our consciousness there. Just like I would do acupuncture and someone only much deeper, we're able to change and we're able to fully invest ourselves mm-hmm. with all that's possible.
So when you're doing acupuncture on someone, are you able to help them access that deep, happy place through that process?
Yes. Again, it's not magic, it's a process. Many
okay.
years ago, when I was practicing in the Himalayas, when I first took my teacher's pulse, there was a quality. In Chinese medicine, we take the pulse, as other Asian systems, we're not just feeling for how fast it is. We're actually feeling for how the organs are functioning. I can describe someone's parents from the pulse. I can describe someone's spiritual connection from the pulse and where the trauma is from the pulse. I'm a medical intuitive, so I can generally do that even without the pulse. But when I first took my teacher's pulse, there was a quality I just couldn't even get or figure out mm-hmm. at all. I couldn't even think about it. And I got four planets in Gemini, so I'm used to be able to think about anything.
Uh-huh.
And so over the next 7 or 8 years, I would sometimes find that quality in other lamas' pulses or even Westerners, not all certainly, that I could define. But after that, I was back in San Francisco, and this great lama, he was 85, from the obscure part of the Himalayas, came and taught. And he just filled the room with this incredible light. And I went to visit him a week later where he was staying in Oakland, and when I came in, he just grabbed me and put his hand on my head, and he sent this incredible energy right down through me.
Hmm.
And I was in an altered state. And after that, I said, thanks, which is kind of an understatement. I said, what can I do for you? And he looked at me, and he looked me right in the eye, and through the translator, he said, take my pulse.
Well, can we hold that thought? And when we come back from the break, I want you to tell us what happened when you
Absolutely.
Took his pulse.
Thank you.
All right.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Peter Fairfield, teacher, healer, and acupuncturist, is telling us about the work that he does
and how we can connect to our own deep happy. Before the break, we were talking about him taking the pulse on a, what was it, a Lama, a Dalai Lama? Who was it?
Well, a Dalai Lama is a particular person. A
okay.
Lama means teacher, and
okay.
many levels of that. There's
okay.
only one Dalai Lama.
Okay. All right. So on this Lama, you were taking, he said.
This was just like there are different sects in the Christian tradition, there are different sects in the Tibetan tradition, and he was the head of sort of a very small sect. And just to recap quickly for those that didn't remember or just tuned in, I had discovered this affect in the pulse that I just couldn't even think about. It just put me in another space. And finally, after years of feeling this on some people, I met this old Lama who kind of gave me a blessing and put me in an altered state. And when I took his pulse, I felt the same quality. Only it was that was the whole pulse was this quality. And I realized what I had been feeling was the quality of enlightenment.
Hmm.
And once I felt that, and once I sort of broke that in this altered state that he had helped me to get in. And again, you don't have to be Tibetan or anything. This is just humanity.
Good.
It made me reinterpret all of the spiritual training I'd have or all the medical training I had. And it made me really understand the simplicity of it, that all of it was to uncover this intrinsic place that we all are, this intrinsic place where we all connect to infinity or God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. And that's what I felt in his pulse. And that was what I had felt on the other pulses. And after realizing that, I realized that's underneath everybody's pulse. So when I teach my workshops, I'm teaching people to uncover that place. When I'm doing my clinical practice in my clinic in California, in Mill Valley, at the Center for Health and Happiness, that's what I'm doing. And when I'm working on the phone with people all over the country, that's also what we're doing. We're going in and in a kind of a graduated way, beginning to help people uncover this innate presence. It's all right there. And so that's kind of what our workshop is going to be about, the Deep Happy Workshop that we're doing in Tallahassee the weekend
mm-hmm.
after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Healing from the Inside Out, Deep Happy. And it's Friday and Saturday, and I think 9:30 to 4:30, something like that.
Right.
And it'll all be on the website, hopefully this afternoon.
Okay.
If you have any questions about it, or you get there before we get it up on the website, you can, on the website, which is deephappylife.com, deephappylife.com, or you can just Google Peter Fairfield or Deep Happy, you'll probably find it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an email how to sign up or get more information, and anybody that would like to work with me privately on the phone or even just talk about Deep Happy, you can call me from the number there. And
wonderful.
So the thing to remember is that we all have this inside us. Now, this doesn't mean we have to walk around with a smile on our face and never be touched by things. As my son, who's sitting next to me and working on his computer, can testify, I'm a passionate person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel love and frustration and all that. But inside me, I keep connected to this place of deep happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what guides it. You know, I don't want to be a robot or an automaton. I don't want to lay trips on anybody. I don't want to be aggressive against anybody. But I want to feel strength and passion. I believe that's what our world needs, right?
Yes. Yes. But you can't maintain this connection all the time, can you?
Well, eventually you do. I mean, that's what spiritual practice is about. And that's as we get older, we naturally do. The importance of the personality begins to fall away. You know, the personality is like an instrument. You know, it's like a guitar or a trumpet. You know, we play our soul through our bodies and through the instrument of our bodies within this life. Our life is sort of like the piece of music that we're playing, and our bodies are kind of like the instrument. And our soul is the intent and the movement and the life and the love that we play it through. And so you know, the more we remember that it's there, the more we get used to sort of having that as a tone as we live our life. And that's the cool thing. You know, that's how it can work well. And we all have that.
Mm-hmm.
The other title of the book is Deep Happy, How to Get There and Always Find Your Way Back. Because we're humans, you know. We're a little crazy and we're a little out there and we're a little spontaneous when we're healthy and happy. And so we do, you know, we lose that connection. But as soon as we remember, there we are right back there. Let's get used
yes.
to it.
Now, do you have like a code word or something you use to get you back to that place if you find out you strayed away from it?
I don't use a code word, but as soon as I feel like I'm like some guy wouldn't let me in. I'd probably never get enlightened as long as I have a driver's license. But some guy wouldn't let me in into the lane. I don't know. It just made me angry for a moment. And then I went, well, what am I doing? It just dawned on me that, hey, that's not the big picture. That's not who I am. That's my stuff, not his.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a parent, we get reminded of that often.
Yes.
And as a person that works with people and knows people and in relationships with people, we get reminded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if it doesn't feel right, then we drop back in.
And I think it's hard when we have a concept like this for those who are closest to us to be able to understand this is real. Just because I'm your dad or I'm your spouse or I'm your uncle, it doesn't mean it's not possible for you to have this too.
You mean to have the experience of deep happy?
Yeah, that those closest to us sometimes are the last ones to be able to accept and get into this process.
Well, you know, it's nothing you have to believe with blind faith.
You
can test it. All you got to do is take a few breaths in your tummy and notice what it feels like, and all of a sudden you notice that your state has changed. 85% of the serotonin in the body is made in the gut. Most of it is made in the head.
Yes.
And so all you have to do is just experiment for 10 or 20 or 30 seconds, and then, wow, you feel something. And then you just keep experimenting. You know, one thing I always have had problems with the Christian faith, although if Jesus were alive, I would be at his house, I have to say that, is that it's just blind faith. I don't believe in blind faith. I believe you can test the universe. You can trust it. You know, if you do it with sincerity, show me the truth. Show me how things work. Speak to me. Give me directions. It always comes back. And so we don't have to be blind idiots here. We don't have to be deer in the headlights. If we're sincere and we really want to know the truth and really want to be right and really want to be on the path, the universe can speak to us. I have a lot of stories like that in the book Deep Happy. And it's like how to test the universe and try things out and see if it's working, see how it's working, and learn how it's working.
Well, I definitely think that people need to come to your workshop, whether they come to Tallahassee or not, doesn't matter, but they need to at least read the book and to put it into practice. So as we're finishing up this interview with you, tell them again how they can find you.
Well, it's deephappylife.com, and I should say that we are doing workshops all over the country. We're going to be in Seattle in about a week and a half. We're going to be in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And if you're interested in coming to a workshop, sign up on our mailing list, or if you're interested in helping us organize a workshop anywhere in the country, let us know. You get, 20 people together, and we're happy to come. And again, the workshop is deephappylife.com. I'm Peter Fairfield. You can Google my name. I'm on YouTube and all kinds of places. And I'm happy to talk to you and help you through your troubles in your life and have some fun with you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Peter, for being on today. It went very quickly, but that's how fun times go. So thank you.
And I'll talk to you soon off the air.
All right. Well, now it's time to wrap up today's show. If you want to contact Mayun Tanner, go to mayuntanner.com. And then to contact Peter, go to deephappylife.com. If you want to come to that workshop in Tallahassee, you can contact me as well at my email, drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to learn about reconnective healing from Eric Pearl, and Robin Clare will tell us how to connect with the Messiah within. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.